Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Summertime Forgiveness by Kimberly Thomas, narrated by Emma Fay. Prologue, 1 year ago. Guys, breakfast is ready. Jo called out to her family as she pulled back to admire the spread she'd prepared for them. On the table lay eggs, bacon, English sausages, croissant, French toast, hash browns, muffins, a dish with freshly made strawberry jam, and a tray of fruits. The dark liquid in the coffee maker slowly trickled into the receptacle, waiting to catch it on the kitchen counter. She felt a pair of hands pull her into a firm chest before a soft kiss was placed against her temple, making her shiver with pleasure. "Good morning, beautiful." Her husband's raspy voice whispered against her ear. Jo placed her palm against his cheek tenderly. "Hi, honey," she replied softly. "How was your sleep?" Jo felt herself being turned around until she was facing him. Charles tilted her face upward so that she was looking into his chocolate brown eyes. "I slept extremely well," he informed her. "Why didn't you wake me? I could have helped you with all of this." His gaze swept past her to the display on the table. "You look so peaceful. It felt like a sin to disturb you, considering how hard you've been working these few months," she told him. She brought her hands up to wrap them around his neck as she slightly pulled him down to her, her intention clear.
"Ew, get a room."
Jo pulled away from her husband and moved her head to the side to look behind him. Charles turned his torso a little to look also. Their 17-year-old son stood by the stairs, looking at them with mock disgust.
"Close your eyes if it's too much for you,"
his father retorted, before turning back to Jo and firmly enclosing her in his arms once more, before his lips were on hers, kissing her soundly. Jo laughed against his lips at the gagging sounds Nicholas made behind them.
"Don't worry, son. When you find the one person you can't live without, you won't be able to keep your lips or hands to yourself,"
Charles threw over his shoulder as he smiled down at his wife.
"I won't be anytime soon, though,"
their son returned.
"Definitely not," Jo agreed readily. "You've got your whole life ahead of you to get it right," she finished.
Just then, their daughter Tracy came bounding down the stairs. She stopped by her brother and looked from him to her parents in confusion.
"What did I miss?"
she asked, walking over to her parents. Nicholas did the same.
"Nothing much, sweetie. Only your brother interrupting me giving your mother the perfect good morning kiss,"
Charles explained.
"Sounds boring,"
Tracy replied, moving toward the table that had her full attention.
"Wow, Mom, you outdid yourself today. What's the occasion?"
she asked, popping a piece of fruit in her mouth. Jo finally separated from her husband and turned to her daughter.
"No occasion, sweetie. I'm off from the restaurant for the next 2 days, and I just wanted to do something special for all of you,"
she informed her.
"Oh, that's great. Maybe you could help me with a few recipes that I can make for Josh, you know, for when we move in together,"
Tracy suggested as she took a seat.
"Did you say recipe? Don't you mean poison?"
"Shut up, Nick,"
Tracy seethed, not appreciative of her brother's comments.
"Nicholas, be nice to your sister,"
Jo implored her son, as she too went to take a seat at the table.
"I can't help it, Mom. She makes it too easy,"
Nicholas snickered.
"God, you're such a child,"
Tracy said with a roll of her eyes. Jo smiled at her children, enjoying their time together that would soon come to an end, with her daughter moving in with her boyfriend. She knew the two would miss each other, even if their constant bickering suggested otherwise. They always had each other's back.
"All right, guys, be nice. Your mother went through a lot of trouble to make breakfast for you, so please don't argue at the table,"
their father stepped in. The siblings stopped their back and forth, but kept giving each other death glares.
"You're not staying to have breakfast with us?"
Jo asked as he added saran wrap to the plate in his hand, packed with food.
"I can't. I need to get to the office. I have to get through some important paperwork that I've neglected,"
he explained.
"But I'll be home early."
"Okay, honey." Jo rose from her seat and went over to grab the travel cup from the cupboard before pouring the hot, dark liquid into it, She then handed it to her husband. Charles took the cup before pecking her lips.
Thank you.
Joe smiled lovingly at him. You look really good, by the way.
Scrumptious, even,
she complimented, running her hands down the lapels of his jacket.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
Charles asked, batting his eyelashes daintily. This elicited a laugh from her as she lightly tapped his chest. I'll see you later, she spoke, reaching up to kiss him again.
Hey, you two, break it up!
Nicholas interrupted their moment.
Dad, can I get a ride with you later, please? I'm going by the dentist to get my wisdom tooth pulled this afternoon, so I'll be in your neck of the woods. Sure thing, son,
Charles replied, reaching down to take his briefcase from the floor where he had placed it.
Just come by the office when you're done.
Joe stood by the front door, watching her husband pull out of the garage and onto the street. Charles tooted his horn as he waved goodbye. She waved at the man who had been the love of her life and her best friend for the past 20 years, as a warm smile graced her lips. She pulled her cardigan around her as she watched the car drive down the street until it disappeared. When she stepped back inside, she could hear the raised voices of her children as they traded insults. Joe shook her head as she made her way toward the kitchen/dining room.
Shut up, dork!
All right, guys, that's enough fighting for the day. You two need to learn to get along more. Soon you won't be under the same roof, and I know you'll miss each other, despite your behavior toward each other.
Joe chided her children as she took a seat at the table. Both looked at their mother with remorse.
Sorry, Mom. It's just Nick rubs me the wrong way, and his jokes aren't even that funny,
Tracy rationalized.
But I'll be the bigger person. I'm sorry, Nicholas, for calling you a couch potato with no social life.
Tracy smirked at her brother. Nicholas opened his mouth to respond, but Joe quickly held up her hand, halting whatever insult she knew he was about to throw back at his sister under the guise of an apology.
Let's just eat first, and then you can go back to what you were doing before.
Her children nodded in agreement. After grace, everyone dug into the food before them, taking as much as they could consume.
Mom, you really went all out with this. It makes me excited to see what you'll make later,
Tracy complimented.
It won't be such a surprise, Joe returned.
Tracy looked across the table at her mother, her brown eyes so reflective of her mother's, filled with question.
You're going to help me prepare it,
Joe explained.
Look at this as the beginning of your practice for when you move into your apartment with Josh. Tracy never had the patience to sit and help with the cooking, and always had an excuse as to why she couldn't help in the kitchen.
Joe hadn't forced her, knowing that when the time came, she would probably seek her out for assistance. It appeared that time had come. She would be living with her boyfriend Josh in an apartment closer to the University of Washington, Tacoma, where she would be attending come this fall. Even though they lived in Tacoma, the university was located on Commerce Street, and the family house was further northeastern in the Proctor District. Tracy had presented her argument that she was now an adult and should be able to make her own decisions concerning how the rest of her life would go. Charles had given his blessing on her decision, and Joe had begrudgingly given hers too.
By the way, how is the move coming along? Do you need any help?
No thanks, Mom. Josh came by yesterday to help me get the last of my things into boxes. He carried a few of them in his Jeep, but the movers are coming tomorrow to move the rest,
Tracy informed her mother. Joe gave her daughter a small smile.
Sounds like you're all set.
I'll visit every chance I get to, I promise,
Tracy appeased her mother, having picked up on the shift in her mood. Joe reached across the table and gave her daughter's hand a gentle squeeze.
Sure you will, sis. It's not like you'll be able to live on ramen forever.
Tracy turned to glare at her brother.
Nicholas, Joe sighed tiredly.
Hearing this, Nicholas threw up his hands.
All right, I'm done, I promise,
he replied in surrender.
Truth be told, I'm really going to miss you, sis.
He spoke sincerely before ducking his head, avoiding eye contact. At this, Tracy moved her chair closer, before pulling him to her side with her arm over his shoulders.
I'll miss you too, twerp, You're the best annoying little brother a girl could ever have.
Hey, you're not that much older than me.
Nicholas tried to correct his sister, wriggling out of her arm. Doesn't matter. I'm still older than you, Tracy rebutted. And just like that, the tender moment they had just shared disappeared with their arguing. Joe smiled fondly at her two children. She loved them more than the world. She loved her husband. She loved her life.
Didn't Dad say he would be home early?
Tracy asked her mother as she helped her set the table for their dinner.
I thought that meant before dinner time.
He should be home soon, Joe confirmed. The time on the wall clock read 6:15. She was used to Charles coming home at late hours of the night, but he had promised he would be home early. And the fact that he was Nicholas's ride home, she determined he should have been home by now. Just then, her phone pinged. Snatching it from the table, she read the message displayed on the screen. Well, I guess it's just the two of us this evening, sweetie, she sighed. Tracy looked back at her mother expectantly. Charles got delayed. He said his boss sprang a meeting on him last minute, so we should go ahead and eat. He and Nick will grab something to hold them over before they get home. Oh, Tracy replied, disappointed. Joe knew how she probably felt. She had hoped they could dine together as a family. They hadn't had one of those in months now. With Charles always working late and Joe's schedule being rotational, it had been difficult for them to sit with their children to just eat and talk about their day. The two women sat in silence eating, each lost in their own thoughts.
Why don't we watch a movie?
Tracy suggested after they washed the dishes.
Sure, what do you have in mind?
Joe asked, not ready to call it a night, and happy that her daughter suggested an activity that could have them spending more time together. Tracy tapped her chin and thought,
how about A Nightmare on Elm Street?
No way. You know I don't have the stomach for anything too gory, sweetheart.
Joe declined.
Okay, then take it away. What do you suggest?
The two finally settled on the plush wraparound couch in the family room as the movie Sweet Home Alabama played on the television. 2 hours later, the doorbell rang. Tracy rose to go get it, but Joe stopped her.
I'll go.
As Joe went to answer the door, she wondered who it was at this hour of the night. Opening the door, she was surprised to see two police officers standing before her there, the blue and red lights flashing in the background. She felt her heart clench as her fingers tightened around the door.
Good evening, officers. How may I help you?
Good evening, ma'am. Are you Mrs. Joe Hamilton Boyer?
One of the officers asked grimly.
Yes, I am, she confirmed.
The two officers paused and looked between each other before looking back at her, their eyes filled with sympathy. It felt like an eternity before either one of them spoke, and Joe felt the air being sliced off from her lungs before they even uttered the words that would haunt her for the rest of her life. July 17th would be a date she never forgot.
I'm sorry to inform you, ma'am, but your husband was in an accident this evening. He lost control of his car and hit a tree. He and a young male that was in the passenger seat, we believe to be your son, died on impact.
There was a guttural cry of pain behind her, but she couldn't turn to go and comfort her daughter. She remained transfixed, unable to process what had just been said. Shortly after, there was a ringing in her ears, before everything went blank, and she fainted. Chapter 1. Present Day. Joe walked up the stairs toward the set of bedrooms on the upper floor of her home. She popped her head into the first room, which had been her daughter's before she finally moved out just over 6 months ago. Satisfied that nothing was left out, she bypassed the other bedroom across from it and instead went to the guest room beside it to ensure that, like her daughter's room, nothing had been left out. She made her way to the master bedroom at the end of the hall. She paused with her hand on the doorknob for a good minute before turning it and entering the space. The room was empty, stripped of all the things that had made it a safe haven up until 1 year ago.
She quickly walked toward the ensuite bathroom to make sure she had removed all her toiletries and products from off the counters and her pills from the medicine cabinet. Sucking in a deep breath, then releasing it, she made a hasty retreat from the room and headed for the stairs at the opposite end. As if an invisible force had stopped her descent, she turned back to the only room she had not entered, her son's bedroom. Josephine held the doorknob, but she did not turn it. Her knuckles turned white from how tightly she held on. Her head dropped until her forehead rested against the hard wood of the door. Finally, getting the courage, she opened the door and quickly scanned the room, without entering, before pulling it shut. Her heart beat erratically against her ribcage. She made her way down the stairs and went into the kitchen to grab her sports bottle, the only one out, and filled it with water. After gulping down most of the liquid, she made her way to the family room to finish. After what seemed like forever, Jo sighed heavily as she stepped back from the last box she had just packed and taped. The movers would be coming soon to put the things she wouldn't be taking with her to storage. She ran her fingers over the now bare walls of the family room. These walls once held frames that displayed the family portraits and created the perfect backdrop behind the gray 5-piece sectional sofa that took up a considerable amount of space. The large flat-screen television hung on the opposite wall above the mahogany entertainment unit, with a protruding brick-themed fireplace on the wall adjacent. This room held so many memories. Her mind shifted to a happy one, and a small smile graced her lips. The whole family had sat on the couch, so close that they were all touching in some way, their eyes glued to the television. A large bowl of popcorn and glasses of juice lay on the coffee table before them. Charles had his hand over Joe's shoulder, his fingers gently caressing her upper arm. Tracy had her head in her mother's lap, while Nicholas's head rested on his sister's side. It was such a rarity to see them so close without being at each other's throats. Jo ran her hand through Nicholas's short, curly brunette hair. Content was the best word she could find to express how she felt at that moment. Just like that, her nostalgia became too much to bear, and she couldn't stay in the room anymore. It was now a room like the many others that reminded her of the pain, the loss she had to endure, the loss she had been holding on to. As she walked through the other rooms of the house she'd called home for more than 18 years, she couldn't help the tears that welled up in her eyes as her memories of what was and would no longer be took preeminence over everything else. God, how she missed them. She still hadn't gotten over the grief of losing her husband and her son just a year ago. Every time her mind went back to the day she received the news, it always left her reeling as if she was there again. It had gotten even worse after the one-year anniversary just last month. This had been the greatest factor that led to her making the decision to sell the house, and the fact that she needed to be there for her sick mother, now that her father was no longer alive to do it. Mom? Tracy's voice echoed off the now empty walls of the house and pulled Jo out of her melancholy thoughts. In here, sweetie, she called up from the basement. Shortly after, she heard her daughter's footsteps falling against the wooden stairs. What are you doing down here? Tracy asked curiously as soon as she moved off the last step. Jo tried to plaster on a smile, not wanting to worry her daughter, whose concerned gaze was fixed on her. I was just trying to see if I could get some of these things upstairs, she explained, gesturing to the boxes packed with her husband's gym equipment. Tracy's toffee-brown eyes widened in alarm at her mother. Mom, these are way too heavy for you to handle alone. Why didn't you wait until I got here? Or better yet, leave it for the movers to get. It's their job, after all. Jo sighed. I needed to do something to keep me occupied, and... Tracy nodded in understanding before reaching over to hug her mother, her head of brunette locks resting against her chest. Jo hugged her daughter tightly against her. At that moment, it felt as if Tracy was the only thing keeping her tethered to this life, and if she let her go, she would crumble into an abyss of perpetual sorrow.
When it felt safe enough, Jo separated from her daughter and gave her a grateful smile, one that Tracy returned, although she could see it in her eyes that her thoughts too had traveled to the tragedy that had taken her father and brother in an instant.
"I brought food. I hope you're hungry,"
Tracy spoke, turning her head to hide what her mother had already seen.
"Thank you, honey. I actually do have a bit of an appetite," Jo replied.
The two women left the basement and found themselves in the empty living room, where Tracy had left the takeout bag on one of the boxes.
"So, what'd you get?" Jo asked.
"Your favorite," Tracy replied as she grabbed the bag.
"Smoked leg of lamb?"
"Try again. It's something both of us love," Tracy encouraged her mother.
"Sushi,"
Jo said instantly. Tracy bobbed her head excitedly before removing the contents of the bag.
"Where can we eat?" she asked, looking around the furniture-less room.
"Right here," Jo pointed to the floor before lowering herself onto it. After handing the food to her mother, Tracy followed suit and sat across from her. Jo began to salivate as soon as she opened the covered container to see the array of choices her daughter had gotten her. There were maki, temaki, uramaki, rigiri, and sashimi. The scent of the fresh fish intermingled with the spices used to make the rolls assayed her senses.
These smell wonderful, she gushed, casting her gaze over to her daughter.
Thanks, sweetie. Tracy gave her a warm smile before digging into her own plate. Jo moaned in pleasure the second she placed the roll into her mouth. Her taste buds were bursting with a plethora of flavors, from the mild flavor of the salmon topping to the delicate sweet and sour taste of the peach slices embedded in the seaweed-wrapped rice cake and the slightly tangy, slightly salty soy sauce dip.
"Mandolin?" she asked, referring to the sushi and steakhouse they used to frequent often.
"You know it couldn't have been from anywhere else, Mom," Tracy confirmed with a grin. The two settled in comfortable silence as they continued to enjoy their meal.
"So, are you ready for college?"
Jo finally broke the silence to ask her daughter. Tracy had deferred her acceptance to study journalism at the University of Washington, Tacoma for a year after the accident, but would be attending in the fall. Tracy stopped eating to answer her mother.
"I am,"
she said, as her mouth widened into a smile. Then it dropped as a troubled look flitted across her face.
"But I'm also nervous."
Tracy looked down at her plate and sighed. Jo waited for her to continue.
"I know it's only been a year, yet it feels like it's been longer, and I'm having these thoughts that I won't be able to keep up. Josh says it's just pre-college jitters and that it'll pass as soon as I officially start," Tracy confessed.
Jo gave her daughter a look of understanding.
"Josh may just be right, and I want to add that you are already a very smart and talented young woman, and I am confident that you will do well."
Tracy gave her mother a grateful smile.
"Thanks, Mom. I really needed to hear that."
Jo leaned over to take her daughter's hand in hers and gave it an encouraging squeeze that Tracy returned.
"How is my handsome son-in-law, by the way?" she asked.
At this, the light in Tracy's eyes returned.
"Josh is great. He's been so wonderful. And sometimes I don't know what I did to deserve him."
Jo understood that giddy feeling her daughter was experiencing toward her fiancé. It was the same way she had felt about Tracy's father. Unable to prevent a smile from forming on her lips, or the butterflies from making an appearance whenever she thought or spoke about him, her daughter was in love, and she was happy for her. She prayed Josh would never do anything to cause her daughter to lose the stars that she carried in her eyes for him. Her smile wavered, and her heart clenched as her thoughts ventured away from the present.
"His granddad is thinking of retiring and leaving the dealership to him as early as next year."
Her daughter's excitement broke through her reverie. Jo willed her smile to return.
"That's wonderful news, sweetie. I'm happy for him, for both of you," she congratulated.
Tracy beamed at her mother.
"So have you told Grandma and Aunt Cora and Andrea that you're moving back to Oak Harbor?"
she asked after a beat.
"No, not yet," Jo confessed. "I want it to be a surprise."
She had decided to return to her childhood home to help her sisters take care of the family business and their sick mother, But even up to last week, she wondered if the decision was a wise one, considering the history with her family. It was true that after the funeral, they had made up after more than 20 years apart, but it still felt as if they were all strangers, and she wasn't sure how their dynamics would go once she returned. Still, it was a better choice than remaining in a city that reminded her so much with every turn she made of all that she'd lost last year. So after selling the house, she quit her job and was now preparing herself to drive home. After finishing their meals, Tracy helped her mother to get the last of her luggage into the tailgate of her matte green RAV4. "I love you, Mom. Please drive safe." Tracy hugged her mother tightly. Jo brought her hand up to rub it against her daughter's long hair. "I love you too, sweetie. I'll call you when I get there." When the two separated, Jo entered her car and started the engine. She looked over and gave her daughter one last warm smile that Tracy returned. "I'll visit for Grandma's birthday and maybe stay for a week," Tracy informed her mother before stepping away from the car. "Okay, sweetie. See you in a few weeks." Jo slowly backed out of the driveway before waving goodbye to her daughter and taking off for the highway. Chapter 2. The minute Jo's car passed the sign, "Welcome to Whidbey Island," she felt her heart clench with anticipation. She hadn't been driving through town for more than a few minutes, and already she felt the telltale signs of her flight mode kicking in. Her father's funeral was 3 months ago. But with the way she was feeling, it might as well have been just yesterday. It was that same feeling that had clamored at her heart, telling her that she needed to get away from here. She hadn't been in contact with her father for more than 20 years up to his death. Still, the feeling of loss had been magnified by the loss of Charles and Nicholas. Unlike her disposition at their funeral, where she'd been numb for the whole service, courtesy of the medication prescribed by her MD, the moment she had entered the church for his funeral, she'd felt herself shattering to pieces. And at the end, when she went to say her final goodbye, she almost crumpled and fell to the floor if Cora hadn't held on to her. "All right, Jo, get it together. Everything will be fine. You can do this," she pep-talked herself as her brown eyes stared back at her from the rearview mirror. 10 minutes later, Jo turned onto the long, winding path that led to the family property. The path was hedged in by tall trees on either side, their long, thin branches stretching across each other into a canopy of their dense foliage, forming a tunnel. The tunnel opened up to the rest of the pathway, being hedged in by fire and ice daylilies, anemone and balm lilies, further supported by low-cut boxwood. Beyond this was lush greenery for as far as the eye could see. The uniformity of the terrain only broken by a tree or a shrub here and there, and the thick forested area bordering the property and blocking out most of the view of the harbor. Shortly after, she was driving past the 3-story colonial home that had been transformed into an inn. It had already been passed down 5 generations in her family, her and her sisters making it 6 since their father had left it to them. The architecture was one to be marveled at, and with the few additions that she could see were made to it, she was certain it could rival any of the top inns across the country. She passed the barn house that had been transformed into a restaurant. Even with its rustic-looking exterior, it had an inviting aura about it that called out to the sous chef in her. She would be visiting this spot regularly, she was sure. When she pulled up to the house 5 minutes later, the sun was poised to disappear behind the horizon, painting the sky orange, along with everything else in its path. Jo stepped out of her car and looked up at the 2-story building she grew up in. Not much had changed in the past 20 years. Except for the change of color, everything looked the same. She made her way up the steps that led to the porch, drawing her luggage along. She went to ring the doorbell when the sound of laughter that seemed to be coming from the back of the house caught her attention. Leaving her belongings by the door, she walked around the wraparound porch until she came upon her mother, her sisters, and her niece Aurora. Cora and her mother were on the porch swing that moved gently back and forth, while Andrea and Aurora sat in bamboo chairs looking out at the harbor.
The sun that was now halfway down lightly tinted the water, which was darkened.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?